Nebraska defender, it's two, it's three, and it's slamming that left shoulder right into the turf, does Garrett Nelson.
Sikorski will throw here, steps into pressure and throws an interception. There's a flag down in the backfield as Cam Taylor-Britt picks him off.
It could be a targeting shot to the chin of Sikorski.
Personal foul, roughing the passer.
Wipes
Sports
away.
Conduct, haunting, 10 additional yards.
Wow.
First down.
Third down, Sikorski into the flats. Ja'Kari Norwood is in. Touchdown, Illinois. Martinez, who is getting swallowed up. He loses the football. Scoop and sprint. There goes Kelvin Hart. Touchdown, Illinois. Keith Randolph knocked it out of there. And the first mistake from Adrian Martinez in 2021 is a massive one. Return 41 yards for the score. Third down five. Opening drive of the second half. Sikorski, good feel in the pocket. He runs for an Illinois first down. Sikorski, end zone, Ford. Touchdown, Illinois. First of Luke Ford's career. Works off play action here. Even one in the one-on-one. Down the sideline and pulling. Are they going to say it was in bounds? They are. Inside the five by Deuce Spann, who just moved a receiver from quarterback days ago.
Oh my gosh, and you can't drop this in the bucket any better. Is the foot in bounds? It is.
Here's Williams, the other converted QB, and he dances in, touchdown. Shocking, really. 29-9, Illinois, rolling Nebraska here early on in the second half. Martinez to sneak it and get a first down. First and goal for Nebraska. Martinez rolling to his left. Throw it in zone. Blown coverage and a touchdown. And Nebraska not finished yet. Extra point is no good. Second miss today from the reigning Big Ten kicker of the year. And the final timeout taken with exactly 1 minute left to go. Fourth down and 10. Martinez directing traffic. He'll float it up there. Oliver Martin, that ball is going to beat Nebraska in Brett Bielema's debut.
Let's get ready to rumble!
What's up? We're back. Let's mix it up a little bit. We got all kinds of things for you here. One-stop shop. Bam! Yeah, buddy. How about them apples? I've heard good things. I saw this meme. Lon's gotten to the age where he no longer cares. I've been covering the Big Ten for a while. I personally called Lovie Smith up and I said, Lovie, I will coach the linebackers. This is a proven Power 5 coach. I feel really good about it. I don't think it's going to be the same old rebuild. I think they can go to a bowl game next year. It lines up. My name's Jay Lay. I'm the number one stunner from the East Bay. I'm not funny, but I did have two pet bunnies. Ooh, it's nice and bright and sunny. What you say, Trevor V? You float like a butterfly, sting like a bee? Not today. Ha ha, I'm with Stevie J, that Jigga Jay Lay. Turn down for what?
And I have heard that one. I love it, Jay Layman. He's joining us here in just 2 seconds. It is The Drive with Say and Piper, Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise in studio helping us produce today. We have a short show. And it is
bad
Cardinals
timing
baseball.
On that,
it is bad timing, and I apologize to everybody because I think I could talk for 6 hours about the victory this past Saturday, of course, against Nebraska. Illinois starts 1-0, and they get it done. And we're going to get to all of that. I just found out the news, and it just absolutely stopped me in my tracks, and I just hate to start it with this, but a friend of ours in the media, Jim Cotter, someone, Derek, I know that you cover games with on the basketball side, and someone that I would routinely run into at youth games with my boys, and just a guy that always was smiling, a guy that always wanted to talk baseball, he always wanted to talk Illinois, and, you know, he always had a kind word, always. And it's just a guy that, you know, too often do we see our friends and we say, hey, and then we say, hey, I'll chat you soon. And then, you know, once in a while it happens to where you're not going to chat him again. And Jim Cotter passed away, and my thoughts are out to his family, his kids, his friends, everybody I know around Central Illinois that knew Jim. I know I saw Kent Brown tweeted something out. Jeremy sent out a nice tweet. Brett Behrens, all of us, about how much Jim was a guy that we all really enjoyed. And, boy, he loved it. He had a passion, Derek, for covering Illinois. There's no doubt about it. And he had a passion for his kids, and he had a passion for youth sports in general and sports in general. And he's going to be missed.
Absolutely. To echo those sentiments as well, man, it's tough to hear.
Yeah.
As nice as they come.
Yeah.
You didn't even have to know him that well to feel like you knew him or easy to talk to and to bounce back. You know, talking, like you said, Cardinals, Cubs, talk high school football. I know he was very
big time
involved and knowledgeable about that. But I saw him, you know, as long as I've been doing it, Illini basketball games, and very, very sad for a guy that had a big heart and was just
huge.
So easy to get along with. And you just hate to hear that today.
You will be missed, Jim. I promise you that. You'll be missed by all of us in the media and everybody that knew you for sure. So prayers again and thoughts to Jim Cotter and his family and all of his friends. All right. Illinois gets it done against Nebraska. I will brag for a minute, Derek. You and I on Friday at Pia's seem to hit kind of all the right chords with regards to covering this game, except Luke Ford leading the team in receptions, but he did show out. 3 catches, had a great catch for a touchdown in the end zone. I had made the mention that I'd like to see Adrian Martinez contained. He broke away once for a 75-yard touchdown, no doubt, but I thought Illinois' defense did an exceptional job at kind of limiting him, making him pass. I think he should be better than some of the throws he missed that were set up by picks. There's no doubt about it. I went back and watched every one of them. Every time there was a receiver wide open, I thought, oh, crap. And then when I watched the game over on Sunday, I said, oh, well, wait a minute. I'm not oh-crapping as much because there was a pick on every play. It seemed like that they were wide open. I thought you nailed it, too. I mean, even down to the score. It's just a big win, and we're going to get Jay on in 2 seconds. But right now, Derek, your last thoughts before we bring on the energy, baby. I mean, that's just a big win. And you know what? I sat there Friday after we got done at Pia's, and on my way home, I said, you know, just get this one. Get this one and get to 1-0. And let's feel right. And we do. We feel right now.
I know outside of some injuries that we're going to talk about, It couldn't have been a better start for Brett Bielema and for his tenure. And, man, what an environment, what an atmosphere. Just the feeling of being back. Like we talked about all throughout the week, but being in those tailgate lots and seeing people and just seeing the excitement for the season and talking about a game that mattered right off the bat.
Oh, man.
Getting in there, it was an entertaining football game. And obviously Illinois, you know, sprints out to that multiple touchdown lead at one point and hangs on late. But as we talked about, I thought that the biggest key to the game for me was Ryan Walters confusing
Huge.
Adrian Martinez and bringing different looks and having guys coming from different places. And that's exactly what he's able to do. 5 sacks. And I want to get Jay's take because he's a defensive expert.
No doubt.
We're going to bring all the energy and talk about it. But that was a huge key. Didn't allow Nebraska to settle into that game offensively. And how about Art Sitowski?
No doubt. Coming
that
in at a 50-yard
bomb was
beautiful.
Pristine.
And who's number 6? Oh, that's Deuce Spann. I'm like, what? That was awesome. It just seemed like you said it, except for those injuries, everything seemed to work well. It is time for Jay Layman. By the way, Trevor, Ryan and Callie said huge props to Trev for that intro. Absolute heater. Well done there. Lindy is watching the 1-hour replay of the game while listening to us. Love it. Thank you, Lindy. We're ready to roll, man, and so is Jay Layman. How are you, buddy?
What's up, fellas? Boy, that intro was next level. I don't know how long it took to edit all those clips from last year. We've had some good times. They're only going to get better now, boys.
How big, Jay, is it that we're all smiling on this Monday following that game against Nebraska? It's huge.
Well, usually we have a lot of optimism in August. We're always undefeated until we play our first game in September. Right. But we got to play in August, right? And you know what? We won. And I was just like, wow. You know, it was so funny because, you know, it was like, you look at how the teams have won in the Big Ten West. It was exactly how teams win, right? How does Iowa win? Run the football, yep. Play in defense. How does Northwestern win? Run the football, play defense. How's Wisconsin win? How did Michigan State, when they had a good run, win? Running the football, playing defense, controlling the line of scrimmage. And that's what Illinois did, and it was refreshing. You know, it reminded me, guys, of like, you know, the team that Illinois usually is was Nebraska. Doing everything to just mess up the game.
Great call.
Bad snaps at the wrong time. Horrible special teams play, right? And also turnovers at the wrong time. Like, that's Illinois to a T the last decade. And what I saw was a really well-coached football team. And I also just think, when you run that style, it seems to me, you guys watch a lot of football, you run a style that maybe some people would say was more conservative. For the college player, you just make less mistakes compared to the fun and gun or the spread or maybe Rod Smith's offense than you do in the traditional Iowa, Wisconsin, run the ball, play defense. Amen. And that, my friends, was the difference in the football game.
Jay Lehman, our guest. Now, normally, Jay is going to be in studio with us, but sometimes life happens, and today he's not. We expect him and hope for him to be back soon. But, Jay, as always, you are brought to us by a lot of great sponsors. I'm going to turn it over to you and just let you hit that, We'll get nitty-gritty, my friend.
Well, you all heard about the housing market. Molitor Financial has been helping people get refinanced and finance home mortgages in this red-hot housing market. They are the go-to mortgage broker for myself and for my clients as a real estate professional. Molitor Financial, great service, great rates on 30 and 15-year fixed mortgages. Also, how about Dick Van Dyke Appliance World? Guys, you need an appliance, Dick Van Dyke is the place to go. Washer, dryer, refrigerator, oven, range, stove, whatever you want, they can get it done. Also, Lohman Ray Insurance, they do more than just housing and auto. They will also do life. They also do health insurance. Lots of different things that Lohman Ray does. And how about Long Branch Steakhouse, guys, in eclectic and historic downtown Gifford? I went there the other night with my family, had myself a special there and a ribeye. My wife had a filet. Donnie Curtis, the owner, took great care of us. The kids enjoyed their meals. Long Branch Steakhouse, looking for a great steak place in Central Illinois.
I love it. Donnie's in here with us today, so he's loving everything you're saying, Jay. I know Dan Hartland, Atlanta baseball coach, just ran over there the other night. So definitely Long Branch. If you haven't done it, we're not mad at you, but definitely go over and try it. There's no doubt. Certainly a special thanks to all our sponsors. Derek Piper is biting at the bit to get nitty-gritty on this thing. Let's go, Derek. You start.
Jay, one of the biggest talking points leading up to that game was how do you attack Adrian Martinez, a guy that was playing Madden on rookie against Illinois as far as him versus that defense in his two previous starts. Do you sit back and try to keep him in the pocket? Are you not bringing as many blitzers? Like, what do you do there? And Walters was aggressive, man. He brought the corner blitzes, yes. The linebacker blitzes. What did you make of the way that he attacked Martinez and made sure that he wasn't comfortable from the very beginning?
A Madden on rookie, I love that, number one. Number two, Walters made a very calculated decision from the very first quarter, and that was he was going to have Calvin Hart spy Martinez the entire game. And the reality is it worked phenomenal while Calvin Hart was in the game before he got hurt. All of Martinez's big runs were when Calvin Hart got hurt.
Good point.
Now, here's the trade-off. If Calvin Hart's going to spy Martinez, now we've got to play man coverage with one high safety. So it's called man free, but usually in man free, you have a linebacker as your low free player and a safety as your high free player. Well, they took away the low free player. So a lot of those crossing routes, when guys are getting picked, like Lon mentioned, there is no help because Hart has Martinez all the time. And he banked that Martinez is not accurate enough to hit the throws consistently. He's better with his legs than his arm. And you know what? It was the right gamble to make. And he didn't have any yards until Hart got out of the football game. And he really didn't have any yards other than on scrambles. He had a lot of yardage in previous years on the quarterback keep off his own read. That was totally nullified by Walters and his staff.
You had to have been proud with how this defensive front and those linebackers all showed up. No doubt, Jake Hart. I mean, you know, a guy like Jake Hansen just there every week. None of us, except for Jay Layman, appreciate the effort that he gives every week and what he does right that we, the layman, don't even see. But Roderick Perry was blowing guys up. You've got the young kids like Newton and guys like Keith Randolph that were just doing wonderful things. I mean, we're going to go through these positions, but that defensive line had to make you pretty proud of how they played.
Well, I think they won the line of scrimmage. I think offensive line and defensive line, for the most part, won the line of scrimmage. They didn't really get very many interior runs at all. It was mostly just breakdown plays or breakdowns in man coverage. But what I saw was Hansen and Hart were running free a lot. They didn't have a lot of Nebraska offensive linemen, you know, coming up to the second level to get hands on them. We've seen that a lot. And for a D lineman, it's not just about, am I blowing up the backfield? Am I making plays? Sure. Am I keeping my linebackers free to run? And people say, well, I don't know if Hansen made as many plays as he usually does. I don't think he has to. I think we got a better front than we've had in years past, and they played better, and we had more players contributing to tackles for losses, to disruptive plays. And even I was really impressed. I mean, Roderick Perry, I thought Keith Randolph played well. But Johnny Newton at the nose, for being a young player, I think maybe some people thought Calvin Avery would be the nose. Listen, just Johnny Newton's come up and made some great plays, probably went against their best lineman, Cam Jurgens. You know, I mean, they've hyped that Cam Jurgens up as a guy, number 51 for Nebraska, the center. He's going to be an amazing center, blah, blah, blah. Squat 700 pounds. Guys, he had a bad snap, and he got a bad holding call, and he got owned by Johnny Newton, a guy nobody knew about beforehand. So I don't know what Cam Jurgens was using. I don't know if he uses Jurgens lotion or not. All I know is that he got outplayed by Johnny Newton.
Jay, the secondary, and you guys have talked about it with the pick plays, maybe opening up some angles for those throws. Outside of that, there were a handful of times where receivers were open, and there was the halfback wheel route that went for a chunk yardage early in that game. But is that towards the top of the list of things to clean up as far as coverage goes, or are you not as concerned about that?
Well, I'm not worried about that. You know, I can remember a play playing Rutgers in, you know, the 2005 game where Brian Leonard was a great fullback for Rutgers, the Leonard Leap guy. You know, they ran a wheel route out of the backfield. I had a man-to-man and just told him, let him run right by me. I don't know what I was thinking, but it was just wide open for a touchdown, right? And so sometimes those wheel routes out of the backfield, you can just get lost. And it looked like the defender got lost, and Sidney Brown tracked it down, right? They got lost in some other routes. But then late in that critical time, they finally got I'm sure Bielema and Walters and staff were on them about the pick plays, the officials. And what ended up happening was they finally called it down the stretch, right? I was very impressed by Devin Witherspoon.
Yes.
I think he's a top 100 pick right now. I mean, I think he's that good. He's got length at the corner, very instinctive, had a couple of PBUs. The last play was phenomenal. He returned his head around to break up the last play of the game. Almost had a pick. I'm surprised they didn't review that play because his hand was close to getting underneath that ball. Jumped one then when they were backed up as well with a PBU long arm rake with his near arm. So, really, really impressive technique. He could be a shutdown corner. I like the back end. They just looked like they knew what they were doing a lot more. They looked like they played complementary football, especially defensively.
Let's don't tell everybody how good this kid is, Devin Witherspoon. We want him here a couple more years, Jay. So
that's the thing with the transfer portal. You never know who's going to come pick him off, right?
Well, that's a good point on that. Jay Layman is our guy. He's going to join us every Monday, the Jay Layman Hour. We're always excited for that. Let's switch a little bit to the offensive side, but I want to ask you kind of a question before we get nitty-gritty on that. All of a sudden, Brandon Peters goes out, and I know today they mentioned that it's of course the injury to the left shoulder. They think that it's maybe not as severe as what I was hearing from everybody covering the Brett Bielema press conference today, to the point where maybe you can get a Brandon Peters back here eventually, obviously. But as a player on a team, and your starting quarterback goes out game one early on, what is the feeling like? Is it immediately you rally around a guy like Art Sitkowski, or is there a moment where you're like, oh, crap?
I think it's very deflating. I think it's like, wow, this is the guy that took 3/4 of all the reps that we had, and now he's out.
Right.
And now we have a guy that showed up to campus in May, and he's going to help us beat Nebraska, and we have 3+ quarters to play. And it looked like that. You know, it looked like that on the first play, got sacked, looked jittery. Other plays looked bad. And then, you know, the turning point of the whole game, and according to Brett Bielema, the turning point for the offense was with, you know, questionable penalty call. Right?
Totally agree.
Where you know, he didn't hit him high. It was a good hit. It was that he drove him into the ground, mm-hmm. right? Now, when I was playing, that wouldn't have been a penalty. That would have been a good play, right? And then he got unsportsmanlike conduct on top of it. So not only did we get the ball back, it was a 30-yard swing, right? And then we went on to score and whatnot. But what I saw Sitkowski, it was actually the drive right before half. The throw where he throws to Diane Navarro and hits him on the curl route where Navarro fumbles. I was like, that's a Big Ten throw right there.
Yep.
I thought he got confidence with that throw. And even though Navarro fumbled, I think that was the key throw that set him up for the second half.
I kept telling Andrew during the game, especially when that penalty occurred. And of course, when you're at the game and not watching it on TV, a lot of times you don't understand. I mean, you hear what the call is. And, you know, I wasn't watching that closely to know what had happened. So I remember telling Andrew, I'm like, you know, these are the kind of things. And Jay, you alluded to this at the very start. These are usually the things that go against Illinois or that Illinois does. And if you look at that moment, when they had that interception and the way they were moving the ball, that could have been maybe the biggest play of the game. And I think you just said that, because if Nebraska gets that interception, goes down and scores, now you're looking at a team sitting there with their backup quarterback in. Now you're down big, and all of a sudden it feels like the world's against you. But yet it all switched around. And you said it perfectly. Things like that were happening, like the safety on a wonderful punt from Blake Hayes. I mean, that guy, unbelievable. And we'll get to that. But just the little things like that, Jay, that normally work against you, they went our way finally. And I loved every second.
I mean, how many times have we gotten in scoring distance and then got a holding penalty in years past?
Yep.
So many times. How many times have we not been able, for some stupid reason, not been able to capitalize on mistakes? So many times, right? It just felt like, and you're right, if they go in, so Nebraska was up 9-2. At the time of that penalty. If they go in and score, it's 16-2.
Yep.
And then your whole game plan of controlling the clock, running the ball, keeping Martinez out the field is out the window.
Yep.
It really is.
Yep.
I mean, at that point, you'd have to make adjustments and you rely on a backup quarterback. So, but that's the way it came out. And interestingly enough, they were able to capitalize. And I give Tony Peterson, the offensive coordinator, a lot of credit, because he milked the clock, but he didn't get too conservative. He still took some shots. He still let Sitkowski throw the football, and they played to win the game. It wasn't about style points. It's like, let's get this win and move on to the next one. And it felt like Bielema was in control the whole time. It really did. It felt like he knew what he was doing the whole time. You know, we've had coaches in the past like, does this guy really know he's doing it? What's the plan? And I felt like Bielema had a plan the whole game.
J. Isaiah Williams, we all wondered, how would this guy be used? How much? What could he do? He was a factor in that game, moving around a bunch, used the jet sweep action. How big of a weapon is he? And even just like when he's running across a formation and just that option for the defense to say, okay, they could pitch it to him here, they could throw it quick, or we could run up the middle. What value does that bring to an offense like that?
Oh, it brings a tremendous amount of value. I think we're just getting started with Isaiah Williams. I really do. I think I want him to use him like that sooner in the game. You know, his ability to stretch the field on some sweeps, his ability in the slot to create separation. And I just think he's the one guy that has serious yak potential, yard after catch, right? Has serious big play potential. I mean, Luke Ford's good. You know, but not much yards after the catch. I think Chase Brown has a chance. He was banged up a little bit. he's the one guy I feel like who has that explosive play potential. Now, I say that, and Deuce Spann had a big play, but
huge.
I really, really believe that Isaiah Williams is going to be a central piece to this offense, because he's the one thing that makes it really difficult for D coordinators to tap in and say, hey, they can only do this, but with Isaiah Williams, they can do a lot more. And he's a good security blanket for a young quarterback, a great slot receiver, because that's the closest throw to a quarterback is a slot receiver at the tight end, Luke Ford or Isaiah Williams, and that's why we saw them lead in receptions.
Chase Brown gets nicked up a little bit. Mike Epstein looked healthy, breaks one off, 45 yards, ends up being Illinois' leading rusher. Reggie Love made some nice plays, especially a tough run late in that game to get a first down. What did you make of the production out of the running back room?
First of all, Epstein, when he's healthy, is one of the more slippery, deceptive guys out there. Like, I'm like, how does this guy make guys miss? But he's pretty slippery, you know, when he's healthy. And Reggie Love impressed me. They both had, the big run for Epstein was on that right side. Palcheski took a little bit for Palcho to get going, but it was his first live action, and him and Ford really sprung Epstein on that side. I give Peterson credit. The run game didn't start strong, but they kept at it. And you know, Brock Heward said on the broadcast, he said, you know, the body blows started to add up, and then the left side, Reggie Love was running, and he would, you know, what happens on those stretch plays is they really start running to the sideline as a defender. You start running that way, and then all of a sudden the back puts his foot in the ground and cuts right up vertical and gets 4 or 5 yards. We saw Reggie Love do a good job on that as well. And so what I like is they got a couple horses there that can really pound the right. I think Reggie Love could be better than all of them. I really do. When you saw some of the flashes, that run he did with about 2.5 minutes left in the game where he got 9 yards on first down, you just can't ask to draw it up better in a 4-minute run the clock out situation. You always want to get a second and one. And he got that.
He did.
And so, and they trust him to carry the ball at that time. So I like our running back situation. We have some depth there. I think they're only going to get better. We struggle a little bit when it came to, they'll call it gap scheme, when we pull guards. We're still not there yet. But our zone blocking is definitely improved throughout the game and sprung some big runs.
Jay Lehman, it's not fair that we only get you for about another 7 minutes, because it
crazy.
Is Cardinals baseball today. We want to give our sponsors their due. Can you, again, for the Jay Lehman Hour, and we'll do this before we get out of here as well, but let everybody know why you're here today and what's making it happen.
Well, Molitor Financial is the premier mortgage broker in the Central Illinois area, actually throughout the state, and actually in other states as well. They're big in Chicago, big in Central Illinois.
Nice.
They do a great job of getting you approved. You know, they can also help you with FHA, VA, USDA loans. So not just your just conventional loans, anywhere from 3 to 20% down. They can help you figure out your financing needs. Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, they've been an institution here in Central Illinois for years when it comes to appliances. Great service, great product. Loman Ray for all your insurance needs, and Long Branch Steakhouse in Gifford, Illinois for a great steak and sides.
Jay Lehman, I want to ask you about depth, because you talked a little bit about it on that running back room. And, you know, Mike Epstein, a guy that kind of shouldered the load. It sounds like from today that Chase Brown was a little dinged up, but should be full go against UTSA next week, which is huge. Even the offensive line, you saw different guys. I know they brought Julian Pearl in some power situations, but you saw a couple of guys playing that guard position as well. How hard is that on the offensive line, especially, to kind of mix and mingle? You don't usually see it, right? I mean, usually you get your five guys, and unless somebody gets hurt, that's the five right. that play the whole game. But knowing you've got maybe six or seven that you can kind of throw in and mix and mingle, how tough is that, and how big is that if that actually can work?
Well, I mean, it's you like to have five guys that play every snap
sure,
together, right?
Sure.
I mean, ideally. But it's not uncommon, especially Wisconsin's always throwing another sixth or seventh lineman in there at tight end, right? And they're always throw that jumbo package in there, or put them in the backfield, whatever it may be, or mix and match some of their do unbalanced formation. So we've seen some of that in the past. I do think the guard positions, whether it's Pilstrom or Gerasotti, are up for grabs. I don't know if they feel 100% solid on where those guys are at. I think it's going to shake out here in the next 2 or 3 weeks. But I was pleased with the offensive line. I thought they struggled early to protect and run the football, and then they got better.
Yes.
And they got better as the game went on. And I think also they had a totally different cadence as well with Art Sitkowski. Totally different, right? So I think Sitkowski is going to improve a lot from this week to next week. This is a guy that got here in May.
Yeah,
now
right.
He's a guy next week, we think. I mean, this is
it's crazy.
I mean, we should see some improvement out of him. And, you know, Brock, you were telling you, he did play like a Wisconsin quarterback.
I agree.
Managed the game, made his couple throws he didn't make, keeps the defense honest, and they want to run the football.
Jay, I've been in that stadium before, and where you fall in love with a punter, Brad Maynard, way back when the Bears were coming here. And usually that's the sign of a bad football team, unfortunately. Right. And we know that Blake Hayes is a star here. But, hey, contributed to a win with
huge.
Those two huge punts early on in that game. What can you say about
weapon.
Yeah, Lon said it right there, the weapon that he presents.
Mm.
I just haven't seen a guy that can hang it up there like he can. And somehow, I don't know if it's the spin or the Australian thing, but the Australian style, whatever it is. But you rarely see a ball bounce into the end zone on him.
Agree.
It's the weirdest thing. And even, you know, in the spring, I remember Bielema said, I can't remember who the backup punter is, but the backup punter is also Australian, and so is Blake. And they can stand 50 yards away, and like me and Lon are 10 yards away playing catch, they can punt the ball to each other, and the guy doesn't even have to take a step.
That's
right?
Crazy.
That is unbelievable. But there's something about him that it's not just the length of the punts. It's the net punt, right? That's
good
really good what you're looking for. Because like you can have guys that can wallop the ball, 60, 70 yards, but it's a straight line and there's a 20-yard return. His net punt is sensational. Part of that's coverage, but a lot of that's hang time and the directional aspect. You think about both those punts, he put it in the corner of the field on both of those, right? And he's banking, the coverage knows that's where he's going to put it. And so if he punts it in the wrong spot, it can be a big error. So the way he's able to have directional punting and also net, the ball never seems to go in the end zone. I don't know why. It just seems like that.
Last one for you, Jay. I kind of go big picture on this one. When we talked going into this game, what could be gained for Illinois? And we talked about for a fan base to be reinvigorated and have some buy-in and some confidence. Okay, that now we can win this year. But I thought that this team maybe had a chance to start believing in themselves with a really good week zero showing. What do you think that maybe they did gain from that? What do you think that this win can do for a team that was a bowl team 2 years ago,
new
staff? You heard a lot of great comments after the game about, hey, we feel like we're a smarter football team, more well-coached football team. What do you think that showing did for them ultimately going forward?
Well, I think it really was, aside from the injuries to Hart and Peters, that it really was the ideal game. Because here's the deal. You started slow, but then you got it picked up, right? You had a turnover, but you bounce back off the turn. Your quarterback goes out.
Good call.
You practice 2 minute. You practice 4 minute drill. You practice red zone multiple times. You do special team situations. You learn about the importance of extra points and field goals and all these different things. So that they learned a ton. But the biggest thing is they have confidence that when stuff goes wrong, they can win a Big Ten game. And they did an 8 minute drive
Incredible.
Just in the third quarter.
Yeah.
I have not seen an 8 minute drive on a Big Ten opponent for a long time. That kept Nebraska off the field, let our defense rest on a very hot day, as the fans know. And that was, I think, that and of course the penalty in the second quarter that turned the interception around
huge.
Was the defining moments of the game. That drive was huge.
We're not getting enough Jay Layman, but we're going to make up for it next week. And by the way, to add to the confusion, next week is Labor Day. We won't be here on Monday, but you're going to join us next Tuesday, hopefully in studio, hopefully for an entire hour, and we're going to get a bunch of stuff out of you on Tuesday, hopefully looking at 2-0 and going into that game at Virginia. Jay, we're going to get better as we do this, but we're cursing the Cardinals only today. We love the Cardinals on most days, but, well, I don't know about
not
that.
Not yesterday.
Hey, give us your sponsors one more time, Jay, and then we'll call it quits today, but we'll get you next week.
Well, we'll give the Cardinals a pass today, but I'm excited about Illinois football. They looked well coached. Time to start stacking some wins, as they've been saying. And what I love is that, you know, the team is not overly excited. They're excited, but it's like, hey, this is one win. And so it's a good sign to me that this could be bigger than just the 3.5 wins that Vegas said we were going to get.
Jay Lehman, you're the man. We'll talk to you again next week, my friend.
See you guys.
All right, buddy. That is Jay Lehman. Good stuff there, as always. And he will be joining us each week. We are always excited about Jay. I know we had somebody on the U of I Lightning Link text line. After a big game, why can't you just not do the pregame for the Cardinals and do a normal show? It's much more entertaining. Well, it's all about dollars and cents.
Under contract.
That's exactly right. So it's out of our hands, and that's something we knew when we signed up with the Cardinals 10 years ago or whatever, and they've given us a lot of good thrills, so it's just something that is what it is. Great stuff, Derek Piper.
Went by too fast.
It totally did. Hey, Illinois won. That's all that matters. We're going to be at Pia's this Friday. Big, big turnout last week. We can't thank everybody enough for coming and joining us at Pia's. We're going to be there again this Friday. Look forward to maybe it not being 548 degrees. So, and me sweating like a pig the entire time. So hopefully you can join us this Friday. We'll get it rolling again. Let's get ready for UTSA and get it done. We'll talk to everybody tomorrow. It is The Drive.